If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 13, verse 10. Hebrews 13, verse 10. I want to read through verse 16. And my message today, I think it's fitting in multiple ways. We're at the end of the year, the sacrifice of praise is what I've called it. And this is what is in the text here today, what I want to bring out. The sacrifice of praise. Let's read first from verse 10 to verse 16. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In verse 15, it says, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And then he says, That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's what I want to look at a little bit today. We have sacrifices, offerings in the Old Testament that were commanded. There were many different types. And in fact, there was one that was called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Leviticus 7, verse 11, it says, This is the law of sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then shall he offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil. And verse 13, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. I'm just mentioning those verses because there was a sacrifice of thanksgiving in the Old Covenant. That was in Leviticus 7, verse 11. But what it's talking about here in Hebrews is not a sacrifice of a dove or of a sheep or a goat or an animal or a cow. It's not what it is. It is a sacrifice from the heart. It says it there. It says in verse 15, Let him offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The sacrifices of animals was not continually. There were priests in the temple who would be sacrificing every day. But this is talking to every one of us personally, specifically to all of us personally, we could say. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. It's not talking about an animal sacrifice. And then he says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. In other words, what comes out of our mouth that we acknowledge God. That we give him thanks. That's the meaning or the context of this. The Greek word giving thanks that is used here in verse 15 is the same that is used in other scriptures as profess, confess, or acknowledge. There is the giving thanks here is, in other words, acknowledging God. Praising God continually, acknowledging Him with our lips. When we speak, that it's not just about ourselves, not just about our feelings, not just about how everything is going bad or going well, all about us. No, but that we acknowledge God. That's the heart of what it is to praise God, is that what comes out of our mouth is that which acknowledges His name. It doesn't mean that we always mention the name Jesus, that we always talk about just the name. But it means our life looks different because we know it is because of Him. We acknowledge we're not the same, and it's because of Jesus, not because of us. So to acknowledge Him, I believe that a central tenet, a central piece of being thankful to God is the fruit of faith which God has worked in us. That's truly why we are thankful and we praise Him, is because of that faith which God has worked in us. We can be thankful in everything because Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's sometimes hard to understand. If you have a family member who dies young or dies suddenly, and there's such pain in that, how could God have that for my good if a family member dies? I'm thinking of that because we had a friend recently who had that happen. We talked about it here. But that is where it comes out. Well, how can we still be thankful to God? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul's not saying that, oh, you should always complain about the government, but you can't thank God for your pastor. No, he says, give thanks for all men. He says, supplications, you have a request to God, your prayers, your intercessions, and giving of thanks. Paul says, I want that all of this is done. Supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we should not just beg God to fix someone else, but we should also thank God for that person. It might be hard to do, but if it's hard to do, that means God is working on you. If you have a hard time with someone else and you pray God would fix that person, well, at the same time, you can thank God for that person because God is using that person to shape you. It says in James 1 that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience is a good thing. Jesus Himself gave us examples of thankfulness and of thanking the Father. It says in Matthew 11 verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. So Jesus, when He prays, says, I thank You, Father. Matthew 11:25. In John 11:41, it says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, as the story of Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. So in Jesus, we could understand that He would be thankful in everything. But He gives us the example. Someone who had died, who was still dead in the grave. And Jesus starts the prayer with, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. He's not praying for everything else. For I thank You for all the people who are now touched because someone has died. He starts with, I thank You, Father, that You have heard Me. See, first of all, we can thank God just for who He is. Thank You that You have heard Me. That's what Jesus said. In Revelation, a few examples of heavenly beasts and angels praising God. Now, I'm using praise and thank almost interchangeably. But that comes from the same heart. If we can praise God, we will thank Him for something. If we thank God, we will praise Him for it. It is, we could say, a state of the heart in being joyful to God. Thanking Him for something. Sometimes we thank Him when we're not joyful, but we can be joyful, knowing that God works all things for the good of His children. It says in Revelation 4:9, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Revelation 7, verse 11 and 12, it says, Revelation 7, verse 11 and 12, and all the angels stood round about. Hold on a sec. Revelation 7, verse 11, 12, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That is how those who are not even in this sinful world anymore, they're already in heaven, and yet they are praising God with everything they have and are saying, still, they are saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. That is the heart of being thankful to God, is recognizing that we have nothing and He has everything. Now, we can be thankful to a brother or a sister or a friend, which is good. We should be. But we should never be thankful in such a way as we are towards God. God, who in Christ has forgiven us all our sins. It says in Romans 4 that He no longer counts our sin to our account. He counts us as righteous because of our faith. Because of our faith in Him. Or through faith, He saves us. He saves us by grace through faith and counts us righteous by that same faith. Daniel, in his private time with God, even when they were wanted to kill him for praying, and it says, Daniel 6 verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. I never thought about that so much before. Yeah, Daniel prayed even when his life was on the line. But it specifically says that he prayed and gave thanks before God. Even when he knew his life was on the line. They wanted to throw him into the lion's den. It says here in Hebrews 13 verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It's talking about Jesus. First of all, it tells us how. How can we come to God and thank Him? Well, no one can come unto the Father but by me, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. So we cannot even come to God and offer our thanksgiving except through Christ. Christ has made it where we can come to His throne, the Bible says, with boldness. We sometimes think of bold as being bold and ready to fight, but that's not how we come to God. We come to God with boldness, and we have nothing to fear. Jesus has paid our sin and He has declared us righteous. When we come to God, we come with nothing to fear. We come into His throne because Jesus intercedes for us. So by Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It is only through Jesus that we can give God that thanksgiving, first of all. But also, if we say, by Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, I think it is also giving us a reason why all that Jesus did. 1 Peter 1, I want to read a few verses in 1 Peter 1 that are beautiful, show us what it is that Christ has done for us. I won't read them in order here, but I'll let you know which verses I read. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We're not redeemed by money or by earthly things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That is the why. That is by Him we come to Christ, because of what He did. Verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." We're born again, not from ourselves, but from the word of God. Not corruptible seed, but incorruptible. And then I want to read verse 3 to verse 6. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." So again, our thankfulness comes out of what God has done for us. So let us offer the sacrifice of praise. It also says in Psalm 106 verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." I also want to mention one more thing, Romans 7 verse 23. It says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Deliverance from sin. The verse I just read, Romans 7:23. Paul says that, "Who will deliver me?" And then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ that He delivers me from sin." He says that with his mind he serves God. He serves the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. There is a change, because before you are a believer, you serve sin with your mind, with your heart, with your flesh, everything. You serve sin. The Bible calls it being dead in sin. But if you're a new creature, you're no longer dead in sin. You now are alive in Christ. Your mind is now aligned with God. It gets more and more aligned with God. While your flesh that is still with you is still in sin, but your mind is not. Your mind is being renewed day by day by God's grace. I want to get back to Hebrews 13 verse 15 and look at another point here. It says, By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." You see the word fruit there? The fruit of our lips? Well, first of all, that which comes out from our mouth. But second of all, it's talking about fruit, I believe, that goes beyond just what we choose to say, but what we will say when we don't even think about it. We will be different. Jesus said that it is not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but that which comes out, which makes someone unclean. And He said that because what comes out of the heart will come out of the mouth. You will speak that which is in your heart. If you're an unbeliever, if you're you don't have the mind of Christ, then you will speak worldly, earthly things. And so the fruit is what changes. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is not something that you put on from the outside. It is something that it comes from the inside. If you have a tree, you can't just go and hang an apple in there and then say, now this is an apple tree. The fruit is that which the tree produces. It comes from inside and it grows out of it. Well, the same way, the fruit of our lips is not something that... I'll use an example that I had in the past. Someone comes and tells me, if you do this and this, you'll go to hell. So now let me use that example. Someone comes to you and says, you speak these words, you'll go to hell. And then you say, oh no, I don't want to go to hell. Okay, let me stop saying those words now, I'll say these words, and then I'll go to heaven. That's not fruit. That's like trying to put an apple on a brushes of thorns and saying, that's now an apple tree. That's not how it works. You can't just change the outside and then think that the inside is also changed. It is the inside that has to change, and then it comes out. It comes out of your mouth. What you say, it goes beyond that. It goes to what you think. We won't always think 100% righteous, or then we would be righteous like Christ. That won't happen before we go to be with Him. But our way of life, our lifestyle, the way we think regularly, the way we speak regularly, it will change. It will not be the same because the fruit of the Spirit is coming out. So, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Recognizing that everything we have is because of God, is from God, it's because of His goodness to us, and then living like that by how we speak and how we live. I'm not making this message extremely long today, but I just wanted to go back to the point of I mentioned a little bit that sometimes it has to do with how we feel. We thank God and we're joyful for what we have. But we can also thank God when we don't feel like it. David in the Psalms, many times, it says that he had enemies from all sides. And then he says, but I praise God for His protection over me. One time he said that I will yet praise Him. It wasn't right now. He couldn't really feel it, but he would yet praise God. And so if we feel like it or not, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, it is God's will that we thank Him in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. He's not saying give thanks just for the good things that you have, but thank God for all things. 2 Samuel 22 verse 4 says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I want to just briefly repeat the context of Hebrews. There's been so much about law and grace, the old covenant and new covenant, and then chapter 13 comes down to what should our life be like, and I think it is fitting that the thankfulness is there. We have that in other scriptures that I just read, give thanks to God in all things. The passage I read today, I haven't looked much at the rest of it, but he's mentioning the altar of the old versus the new. There is an altar of sacrifice that they had in the old covenant that was a physical altar of stones where they would sacrifice animals for their sin. They would sacrifice animals for thanksgiving. They had a sacrifice of thanksgiving that they would offer up an animal to God specifically for that. Well, that was in the old covenant. But it's again comparing that which we read here, the bodies of those beasts, which their blood was shed, they were brought into the sanctuary and so on, and then Jesus, how Jesus also was put outside and suffered outside the gate. Let us go therefore, go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And then it goes from all that and says, we have no continuing city here, but we have one to come. And then it says, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is like the first and the last, is being thankful to God. It says in 1 John 4 that we love God because He first loved us. And it's the same in everything. We can't give God anything good before He gives us something that we have a heart to give Him back. So offering to Him the sacrifice of praise is not necessarily that we have to sacrifice a lot of things in order to thank God and give Him praise. But it is like the least we can do. God, I thank You. I thank You for the health that we have, and I thank You for the sickness that we have, because You are God. I thank You for where I'm doing well financially, and I thank You for where I'm not doing so well financially, because God, You've promised to take care of me. To see that sacrifice of praise as the sacrifice, as the giving ourselves to God and saying, God, I thank You in everything. That which I love, that which I hate in my life, but I thank You, God, because I know that You work these things for my good. I want to read Psalm 136, which is a psalm of thanksgiving, and we'll end with that. Psalm 136, a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a bit long, but I want you to see something. And think of one or two things I'll mention to keep in mind while I read through this psalm. One, you will hear that it's repetitive, where it says, His mercy endures forever. It's repetitive. Well, I think it was written for a song. That's why it's so repetitive. They were singing it in that way. But secondly, think about how with each thing that it says His mercy endures forever. Think about how each thing that we read, the sun to rule by day, how God created the sun to rule by day for His mercy endures forever, how that is directly related, how it's everything, all of that is because of God's great mercy, God's just because of who He is. So I want to read through Psalm 136, and then we'll end with that. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. Let me just repeat something here. All of these things have a meaning. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. People were being called Lord on this earth. So think about God as the Lord of lords. He is above all. Verse 4, to Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. Think about it. Each of these things are specific of what God did. It wasn't just random chance and the world happened. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever. with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endures forever, even a heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endures forever, and has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Now, if that was too distracting, you can go home and read it without the second part of all those verses. But I think it is good to read it like that and to think about this psalm emphasizes how great God's mercy is, that in everything that God does, he still brings out his mercy. And I think that should cause us to just worship him. He is so good. Praise him, thank him, because that's what it says here. Thank God for everything, because his mercy endures forever. If it wasn't for his mercy, the Bible says we would be consumed. We would already be killed if it was not for God's mercy. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great mercy. We thank you, God. There are so many reasons, even so many more than I've even touched on today, that we have to thank you and praise you for who you are and what you have done. You are so good to us. We thank you for this time we had today and for your word. I pray that you would touch us with that. I pray that you give us hearts of thankfulness that would come out wherever we go, whatever we do, that thankfulness and that praise to you would be seen. We don't need to live in dejection because of something that is happening in our life, but that we can thank you even in those things that we don't understand, even in those things we don't like, because your word promises that all things work together for good to them that love God. We thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection, salvation that was not only made possible, but that was made sure, that whoever believes will be saved. We thank you. We pray, Lord, that you would use this today to encourage, exhort, and work in our lives. I pray if there's anyone who's not saved, that you would put it on their hearts to come to you, to trust you, put their hope in you. And we thank you. Pray you'll bless our day and the new year and help us to live in a way that is pleasing to you. And we thank you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.